Hello and welcome back to the Humanity Podcast. I'm your host, Michael McPherson, here with my beloved Mackenzie Marzloff and a very, very, very special guest that we have on the podcast with us today. But before we introduce our guest, I want to turn to you and ask you if you have any updates for the audience.
Honestly, I don't think I do.
Nothing.
No. We're in Bend and I'm just really excited to be with both of you and my sister Alexis to have her here. And just can't wait to have this conversation. So let's dive in.
So we're going to be diving deep into a conversation about wounds today, because I feel like there's been a mixed perspective, mixed approach, and even a misunderstanding around what our wounds are, where they come from, and the purpose that they're meant to serve. So without further ado, would you like to introduce our guest?
Yes. So we have one of our best friends, Alexis, here, and she is, she came into our life, of course, divinely through our friend, Maura. And ever since then, I just have learned so much from her and her spirit, her creativity, the way that she shows up in the world, the way she's so fearless and fierce in her being, in her heart. And I guess the context that I just want to give before I pass it over to her is that over the new year, I think it was New Year's Eve time this past new year, she came to Maui to visit, which was awesome. And she was talking about all of this language that I was like, I've never heard this before. What are you saying to me? And she would talk about the wound and holding your wound and the shadow and like the come from. And then she would talk about like, what's your woman self and what's your maiden? And or for a man, what's the man? What's the Peter Pan? Which I'm sure she'll like go into. And long story short, in February, I had this event happen, this situation happened with my sister, my blood sister, and it really inspired me to start working with one of Alexis's mentors named Scott, who I'd been hearing about for a really long time. And Scott is someone that leads what she'll explain it, but it's fire sessions. And so I started going into this work and understanding, wow, this is so important. I feel like this is an initiation that every woman and every man should go through, but we don't. And Scott really walked me through that. But today we wanted to have Alexis come on and give voice to everything she's learned through Scott and her other mentor, Dami. And without further ado, I'll just pass it to you, Miss. Hello.
Hello.
Just give a brief introduction of yourself, who you are and what you do in the world.
And where you live too.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I could not be more excited because this is my favorite topic. And that was a perfect introduction to say like, what is this language? What is she talking about? Because that is the way I introduce this to a lot of people. And I feel like now through this podcast, we can make it a lot more clear rather than me just spewing words you've never heard before and possibly triggering things that you didn't even know were there. Like, who knows? So thank you for this opportunity. I am currently in Los Angeles, California, and I'm an artist, mainly an oil painter, but lots of different mediums. And I also have a couple businesses that I, well, a few, an energy healing business with my friend Maura called Mend Every Mind. You mentioned Maura, and a company called Beat of the Week. That's an app. It's a music competition based in hip hop. And then I manage a band called Night Talks. So that's what I do in the world as of now.
Amazing. Thank you. And this body of work that you are going to share with us today, you know, for me, I want to like literally have the audience understand how I have actually been able to come into my woman self from this work. It's hard to put, you know, to really express just how much it's changed my life. I think you could sit Michael down for an hour and he could share how much it's changed our life just by me leaning into this work and our sex life, our intimacy, our communication, just everything across the board has improved. So I just wanted to give that context as well for like a testimonial. So I'm just a huge believer of this. We both are. So Alexis, Why don't you share with us, like, what started this journey for you? Share with us about your fire session journey and all of that, and just run with it.
Yeah. So I found Scott. He was teaching at a studio called Knockout in LA. And my friend had told me about how she went to this sound bath there and that it was a really awesome new studio in spring 2018. And I can't believe it's been over 2 years now. That's crazy. And he was teaching a class called Fire Sessions. And I saw the name and I was like, what the heck is that? I'm going to that. And I walked in and immediately he started talking about the spirit and the soul and male and female and that wholeness is them coming together. And I was just like, okay, I have no idea what's happening, but that I feel something in my body. And he started by teaching us how to activate the elements in our body. So earth, fire, water, and air. And I connected so deeply to it and went somewhere that none of my other spiritual practices has taken me before. And no joke, I dropped everything else. I literally stopped meditating. I stopped going to yoga. I didn't read any more like spiritual books. I was like, this is it. This is all I need to do. So, and he even said, he was like, don't do yoga for a month or something. I was like, okay. And I haven't done it since. Shout out to my old yoga teachers. Sorry, I never came back. And so I would go to class almost every single week. And the amazing thing about Scott is that he does one-on-one sessions, workshops, group sessions, is that he doesn't push you to do anything unless you're ready. So he was, when he saw something in class that he thought we needed to go deeper with, he was like, oh, I think you need a private session. But that was 8 months into me going into class. Like he wasn't selling himself or at all. Like, this is just a genuine person that wants to help at the right time and really knows. So I did a couple private sessions with him. We got super close. I mean, he's one of my best friends. I call him Biffies when I I answer the phone like, stuff, Biffies. And then he introduced me to his teacher, and now my teacher as well, Dominique Sire. And I did a workshop with her, which was a 4-weekend intensive where it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we were there for 9 hours a day, just going so deep into the body. And just to describe the technique a little bit, they both basically have you ask your body a question and keep that question on a loop in your head so that you don't try to answer it with your head, so that your body, without interference, can bring you what it wants to show you, or an answer or a visual, whatever it is. So in order to go really deep, you do need a big group, like at Dami's workshops, because the energy of the collective group together takes you really deep into the unconscious. So when you go that deep into the unconscious, you start uncovering myths that are in your DNA, in your body, in your soul. And you find these different patterns that help you get closer to what you were saying, Mackenzie, to your true self, and like kind of clear the pathways that have been maybe blocked for in this life or many lifetimes. So I don't know if that was a good start, but let me know.
That was a really wonderful start. And I feel like it gives people enough context for the conversation that we're about to, I feel like, nose dive into. So do you feel ready to go into it?
Yeah.
I would love to know, Alexis, from your personal experience, personal perspective, what to you is a wound?
Yes. Okay, great question. So the first thing I want to say is that the wound is part of the self. It is not outside of you. It is something inside you that's a part of you and needs to be owned and integrated and loved and healed. And I would go so far as to say it's the purpose of life, because if we were here to heal it, we're here, it's a, there would be, if everything was perfect and there wasn't any tension or anything bad or wrong, or let's say shadows in the world, there would, it wouldn't be any fun. Like, we're here to have these experiences and experience tension, experience pain, experience anger, anything that people deem negative emotions. The soul wants to experience it all. And the thing that's so hard about the wound for a lot of people is that no matter what, getting to the wound is always going to be painful. That's how you get there. It's literally, it's just part of the process. And since pain hurts, they associate it with something bad. I mean, the amount of people that I've said the word wound to, and I was like, you're like, well, did I give you a wound? And I'm just like, we were born with a wound. Everyone has one. Or they're like, did I wound you? Or like, I don't want one of those. And it's just part of who we are. And there's so much wisdom contained inside of it, which only is accessed when you're willing to sit with the pain that gets you there. And it's hard to sit with the pain that gets you there, because what we end up doing is judging ourselves for feeling pain, or cutting it off, or distracting ourselves, and also thinking that pain has to be some kind of dramatic experience. That's what I learned recently. I'm just like, sometimes you're sitting there and like, you feel this welling up in your heart and you have a few tears and you're like, fine. And you don't need to turn it into some big whoop, like, oh my God, I was in the wound today and I just, it was so painful and I thought I was never going to get out. Oh, I have been there. But it gets easier to deal with in the sense that you're like, you don't project onto it. And then, yeah. So, okay, can you ask me a question from there?
You have one?
Yeah. So that was amazing. How about giving someone a real life example? So let's say, yeah, what would it look like to project onto your wound, or to escape your wound, or to project it onto someone else? Or maybe even, you know, if you want to share yourself as an example of like what your wound is and how you've, what you've learned from holding it, and what it would look like if you projected that on somebody else as well. Or if you don't want to do that, you can use my wound.
I will totally use my wound. More than happy to share. So my wound is being alone as a human. And the reason I add the as a human aspect is because it's very much to do with touch and physical touch and being able to touch someone else's experience and be touched by them or the world. It has a lot, I'll go into that, but there's a lot of mythical context to that with being a Leo. And if anyone is into astrology, your one hint about your wound is where your Chiron placement is. So mine is Chiron in Leo. But basically, I learned through Dami's workshop that a big pattern that I had and probably still have, it'll come up, is that I avoid pain at all costs by keeping myself busy. And doing that keeps you out of the wound. So as soon as I would start to feel lonely, which was an indicator that the wound was coming on, because it's about being alone for me, I would distract myself by any means possible. It's why I had to delete Instagram, because I was searching for a connection and I would end up feeling way more alone than when I started, because you don't get any real connection through buttons on your phone and looking at people's pictures. So, and then in terms of projecting the wound onto somebody else, I would say that the thing that I've done there is when I'm in my wound, and let's say, and sometimes it's hard to tell because sometimes you just wake up in that place and you're kind of just down, and maybe it's a hormonal thing or maybe it's an emotional wave thing, but sometimes it's the wound. And I start, instead of just letting myself sit still for a minute and not try to figure anything out, just allow whatever I'm feeling to come up and come through, maybe I start talking to my friends. And I remember the other day, I just assumed that one of them was thinking something that about me that was, oh, I was like, oh, I bet she thinks this or this, and that just wasn't my intention, blah, blah, blah. And then I start texting her and being like, by the way, if you thought this, it wasn't the case. And then an hour later, I was like, I'm in my wound right now. So whatever just happened, I'll get back to you like probably tomorrow. So that's like a simple example of what can happen. And I know that it sounds easy and simple to just sit with your pain, but it is not. It is, because the amount of people that I've come across that just can't do it, including myself, I had to be taught how to do it, it's the majority of the world, probably 99%, honestly.
That's so good. And I feel like everyone listening is going to resonate with, especially the piece about avoiding pain. And I know there's so much treasure inside of going into the wound. So I want to talk about that in just a second. But before we go there, how were you able to identify your wound? And then how are you able to identify when it's present for you now?
That is a great question. So Scott is the one that took me there. And I think it's really hard, unless you have a guide, to like Scott or like Dominique, to figure it out yourself. I would say that if you want to get close to it, go to the Gene Keys. Best spirit, as Dami says, it's the best spiritual work probably in thousands of years, because it's inclusive of everything, the shadows, the wounds, the gifts, the cities, everything is in there, male, female, so much. So many spiritual texts are exclusive, especially of the female, which is transformation work in the body rather than transcendence with the mind, which a lot of people know about, because with meditation, they try to basically like ascend or transcend. I think those are key words, but there's a ceiling to that. So I was in a session with Scott, and I can't remember how he took me there, but it was through the body. We had to get to a place where I was in the unconscious, in the unknown, so that, and when you're in that place, Mackenzie, you'll know, cause you worked with him, your voice just kind of starts like speaking for your body, but then you don't remember it the next day. You're like, I don't know what I said. Because you're so deep in the unconscious. So all I know is that Scott took me there, and it was something I said out loud, because all he's doing is asking questions. He's not telling you what your wound is or who you are. And then it took me a long time though to have, I would say, a relationship with it and start owning it. I would say it was a year before we discovered it. And then maybe a year later, I was able to detect what it was and when it was happening. And it's basically just an ability to see, okay, I'm feeling this pain right now, but the pain itself is not me. It's not who I am. It's part of the self, but I am a self that is greater than the wound. I am bigger than it and I can hold it. So that was like the breakthrough I had pretty much exactly a year later. And it was right after a workshop, one of the weekends with Dami. And because that stuff just surfaces, she puts you in the zone. And so being able to, it just gets easier to identify it because it's a feeling. And then if you notice yourself going to your normal tendency of trying to avoid it or escape it, that's a hit. It's like, that's almost where, so I would say the force that is causing us to avoid or escape the wound is the shadow. And that is so, the shadow, everyone also has like a negative connotation for the shadow. And yes, it fucks us up. Its whole job is to fragment us. But it is here to help us. The only purpose of the shadow is to help us evolve and give us something to choose. So the shadow was birth, so we don't choose the shadow. So we choose the self. Because if you're always in the self, there's nothing, like you don't even need free will. But when you start getting better at detecting the shadow, and like that is something that Dami and Scott have helped me with too, identifying when your shadow is trying to sabotage you, then you know, okay, it must be the wound that's on the other side of this. I must be avoiding pain or like my shadow is telling me something. It's like a little alert system that something's going on here.
I can just feel that this work, I mean, for someone that isn't, I just want everyone to really feel this in their body. This isn't something you're going to like intellectually understand necessarily, but when I feel it in my body, it's like, it feels so big. It's like, this is everything. And so I'm curious, and I also want to share my experience of working with Scott to share my wound and how that unfolded for me. You're right. It is hard to like remember specifics, but I just know how it felt. And I think what I was just curious about, have you presented this body of work to people and they're like, oh no, I'm not going to do that. Like, have you seen and felt people's discomfort to come into the body? Because I think so many people want to stay up in the head and they're avoiding going into the body because there's so much discomfort there. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. I brought a friend to fire sessions once and she left, I think like 10 minutes in or something. And I had no idea. And Scott was like, your friend left. Don't worry. People just have issues with this. Like he didn't even care. But yes, I have, even bringing up the word wound, oh my God, that's the thing that probably gives people the most discomfort because they don't want to have one and they don't want to think that they should feel pain and it's what makes us human. And a lot of people, especially, I think like in spiritual communities that are really focused on the ego and the mind and meditation and don't even pay attention to like the other half of us, which is has to do with the soul and the female and this work of transformation that I mentioned. The ego really likes to tell you that you don't have a wound. And that it's because it doesn't want you to feel pain. Again, its intentions are good. Like the shadow's intentions at the end of the day, even though they can manifest in like the ugliest things you've ever seen, the intention is just to help you evolve and grow and make you, and it doesn't want you to feel pain because pain doesn't feel good. But then we don't learn anything because again, we're here to feel pain. We're here to feel it all. So 100%, I feel such visceral reactions when I start talking about this. I'm trying to think if there were I think that what you said, that people will try to intellectualize it, that's a huge thing, trying to understand. And that's why it's so hard to explain, because the only way I could probably explain is by running the elements with you. Or, but I think the energy, at least for me, you guys can tell me if this is right or wrong, is starting to come through behind the words. And that's what, I mean, Scott and Dami are masters of that. Their energy comes through in what they say, and can, like, people can transform from it. And I'm still obviously working on that. I'm a novice, but hopefully being in that energy of the self can somehow, my, like, that energy can transfer through when I'm talking about it, rather than just having to show you what the body can do.
It's so good. Well, I am really passionate about this. Like, even though I'm a total novice to it, I just want every one of my sisters to go into this work. It just, and I would love to actually speak about the Maiden and the Peter Pan here in a minute, so that we can speak to men too. But just how important it is for us to be able to hold our wound. For me, it was like the beloved codes. It was like falling in love with the beloved when I finally was able to go down and in and hold my wound, which, by the way, never goes away. That's the other thing. I think people think, oh, okay, then I'll go into this work and try to get rid of this wound, and then I'll be done forever. And it's like, no, like, the reason why I want my sisters to go into this work is because I want them to experience the sacredness of being able to hold that forever. It's like you said, it's where there's so much juiciness and wisdom and connection and, like, magic. It, like, everything is there. And I want, like, us women to be initiated into this. How Scott explained it to me is that when we go through puberty, we actually didn't go through this modern civilization, this modern culture didn't put us through the initiations that you're meant to get from at puberty, both as men and women. And so what happens is the shadow comes in, and I think he said it turns the maiden self dark. Is that how he says it?
So yeah, what that sounds like, Scott, for sure.
Yes. Yes. And he said to me in that very first session, I'm going to trigger you. There are going to be times where you hate me. There are going to be times where you don't want to come to these sessions. And that's fine. And you still choose to come. And that was nice how he prefaced it. And he also shared in my first session, he was like, your mind is so strong. And he had to help me recognize where my mind wanted to answer the question and bring me into my body to answer the question, you know? And so it was like, I wasn't leaving. I hadn't actually left the nest. Like, at a 30-year-old woman, I hadn't actually fully left the nest to come into my woman self in partnership, in my own home, forming my own family. I hadn't really set that up yet because I wasn't initiated into it. And while I had done a tremendous amount of work and very much in the body with our work with plant medicines, it was like, when it comes to sacred union, especially, this work needed, my work with plant medicines needed deep integration through this initiation that Scott was able to walk me through. So I wanted to share what came up for me was my wound. I identified it through the work that Scott and I were doing would integrate into how it showed up into Michael's and my partnership. So all of a sudden there would be a huge trigger. And so what Scott wanted me to do was be with that, right? And be with it rather than try to solve it here. And so when I actually laid down and was with that, I identified what my wound was, which was, it came in the form of a question. It was, am I wanted? And I was able to trace back, like, literally in the womb, where that question was originated, you know, how it had originated, where that question came from, and why I even as I was being pushed out of the womb, I was actually asking this question, am I even wanted in the world? Am I even wanted here? And so when I'm when I don't have awareness of that, I could go around in my relationships, in my business, in my union, asking, am I wanted here? Am I wanted here? Am I wanted here? And so when I got to come into that wound and lay there, I got to actually reconnect with that sacred part of myself and tell myself how wanted I am and how much I want me. And that was my version of holding it. And I don't know if I did that the right way. Like, I literally don't know. I've never actually like talked to Scott about that or you, but it really helped me understand what you call the come from. So when someone's in their clean, it also helped me understand sovereignty, which I had never understood before. I thought sovereignty was separation. And I thought it was, you know, I'm better than you and I'm in my sovereignty and, you know, and really it's, no, I'm in my sovereignty. I'm holding my own self. I'm holding my own wound. And what I say and how I'm being here is from my clean soul self. Like you said, yeah. So I just wanted to share that because I think it'll give people context. I don't know where to go with this. Should we?
I do.
Okay.
So I want to play the devil's advocate a little bit because I really understand what you said about language. And Bibi, thank you for sharing your story because it gives context for where we're about to go. I really understand that we can do the best we can to transmit energy through language. And obviously we're on a podcast, so we're using language right now to transmit energy, but it's inherently limiting. But I do feel like the truth of what we're bringing to the surface here is coming through. So far we've talked about the wound. We've described what that is. And we've talked about the things that are trying to protect us from feeling the pain of the wound, which is our shadow. And there's, I know, particular flavors of the shadow for both men and women. And I also know, based on the conversations that we have had already, that there is gold for us inside of going into the wound. There's a whole world there that becomes available to us that otherwise wouldn't be when our shadows are actually keeping us from our wound. So we've talked about identifying it. We've talked about what keeps us from it. Is there anything else you want to say? Mackenzie mentioned Peter Pan and the maiden, these things that keep us from going into our wound.
Yes, great question. So Mac, just to address what you said about, that was amazing, owning it. And I think a really good start for people is to, instead of using a twist, like a positive affirmation, for instance, instead of saying I am wanted, it's more like I own that I feel unwanted. So that's when I'm in the wound, I discovered that, I know Scott, he explains things to me and then I don't get it till probably a year later, but a few months ago I was in the wound and I was like, I am not alone. I'm not alone. And then I was like, that doesn't feel quite real anymore, because I think that's how I used to comfort myself. And then I was like, oh, I own that I'm not alone. I mean, I own that I feel alone. I own that I feel alone. I own it. And that, it gives you so much power. Yeah. So it's almost like, instead of trying to have power over it, to have power through it, if that makes sense. So we have different aspects of our shadows, which I think you were asking about, Michael, that keep us from feeling the pain of the wound. And there are some pretty solid archetypes that are in men and women. And Dami and Scott refer to this aspect of the shadow that, Mackenzie, you did a perfect job of explaining it, that develops when we're at around puberty and it's not initiated like fully into womanhood. And it's not because there's a pure part of the maiden that is our innocence, and then she goes dark in certain ways. So for instance, the maiden, the aspect of the shadow that is the maiden, will, to give a concrete example, will always be looking for Prince Charming to save her. So she's going to be like, you solve my problems. You get me out of this situation. She will also blind herself to the shadow of Prince Charming because men have shadows. We all know that women have shadows. Like, they're not perfect. So by denying and putting the blinders on and being like, I don't even want to see his shadow. And if you do see it, maybe giving an excuse for it, that is classic maiden behavior. With men, the Peter Pan shadow, that again is more, same thing, when you're not fully initiated in this puberty time, is actually not as an issue as the maiden is for women. The shadow of man is kind of a different beast, and the Peter Pan, that like immature side of it, isn't as prominent. I haven't seen it in very many men that I know. Like, I'll be like, oh, he's Peter Panning right now. And that's when they're running away, don't want to face the truth, like don't want to know how you really feel about them and things like that. But with men, it's Scott would be, he's actually working with a lot of men right now. So many men are hungry for this work. And it's about it's more about the primal shadow, I think, which is, has to do with the sexual shadow. And it's about, so I think a good way to explain it is that a way that a man used to be initiated was to go into, be brought in by his brothers, by the tribe, let's say you're like in the forest, and be initiated there through nature itself, and to have this wild primal relationship with nature. And they would, and there were also times where it would be a hunt, and you had to go make your first kill, and you had to deal with your relationship with death and sacrifice, and this really potent, really deep initiation that would happen like when boys were maybe 13 years old. And now there's a repression, there's a denial, there is a misdirection, I would say, of this primal energy, especially in men. So it's whether it's taken out with anger or reactive, or just deep shame of like knowing that there's this wild man inside of you and being unable to own it because you don't know what you're supposed to do with this energy, because you know that it in the past, and that maybe in examples you've had in your life, it has been so destructive to the world, because the same energy that is your beautiful, pure sexual energy that is the most sacred thing in the world has been used by the shadow to start war and to like cause destruction. So, and devastation and like repression of women and disconnection from nature and animals. So I think that even though women, we have our version of that too, that with men, it's more about this fear of their own destructiveness, if that makes sense. That's the prominent like shadow for man.
So good.
Obviously, you guys know that that's something that I'm super passionate about, but I can really relate to it through my own life experience. And I've talked about my life experience at length on other podcasts, but this energy that is the most powerful energy that's inside of us, basically how it feels internally is if it's being turned against us. You know, we war in the world, but there's a war raging inside of ourselves. And then you add in the layers of conditioning and all the things we're exposed to as soon as our sex hormones come online, as soon as this energy becomes activated within us. And we get so far from the innocence and source of this energy that it's like you said, we're disconnected from nature. We're also disconnected from our own inherent nature. But what I have found, and this is obviously on the other side of a very long purification process. I say long in the context of my life, 3 years probably isn't that long, but a purification process that now, just to give like men hope and something to look forward to, this energy coming up and into my heart has fueled my service in the world more than any other aspect of myself. And so the potential for rewiring and establishing a new relationship with this energy, I feel like, and this is probably why so many men are working with Scott right now, we're just scratching the surface of. And I love that we're having this conversation because I love where we're going in general. So I wanted to take this conversation a step further just to give people an idea of what's in it for us. Like, so we have all of these layers and boundaries and things that are trying to keep us from experiencing our wound. Well, what's in there? Like, what is in there that we're so afraid of? And what's in there that's so good for us at the same time? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. So I think that honestly, we're afraid of pain. And I think we're afraid of fear itself and our ability to handle it. And I know that a lot of people say, like, I'm afraid of my own potential or bigness. But for me, that hasn't really seen that a lot, is that people are afraid of what they could be all. We're afraid of pain. We're afraid of the feeling of fear. We're afraid of anger and the destructiveness that it can cause in the world. When anger, when fueled and put in the right place, is pure fire, and it's your ability to take a stand for the light against the darkness. It's your ability to choose. Like, when you feel that fire in you, you're saying no to, that's pure anger. So what's in it for us, and what's in the wound? It's hard to describe because it's such a deep place of wisdom. For me, I know that whenever I have been willing to walk through the wound, I've had artistic and creative breakthroughs on the other side almost every single time. And the biggest breakthroughs I've had have come from the deepest, the times where I'm most deeply in the wound, I would say. And it's almost like you come out of it a couple days later, and something I have never experienced before, for me, it's through painting, comes out of me. And my most recent experience was, I was going through a very painful weekend a few months ago of realizing that what letting go was, what loving someone and letting go really felt like. And because it's something you can't force with your mind, again, it has to be with your body. And so feeling that for the first time really like plunged me into my wound of being alone, because I was letting go of this person. And I just allowed myself to be with it, let all the tears come. And the next day, I made this painting that I call a breakthrough, because it was so from the unconscious. And I so like, I kind of knew what I was doing, but afterwards it was one of those blackout times, like a session with Scott, where I was like, I have no idea how I did this. And the response to it was amazing. It's actually the inspiration for the cover of your book. It was that painting. I was inspired to write a book of poems, and published these poems I've written since I was 12 called The Woman in Love, which is like the also the maiden in love, because I have that come from in some of these poems. And through that journey, and ever since then with my creative process, I've been slowly coming back to bringing that unconscious breakthrough to the surface. So I'm almost like more aware of what's happening. Like I'm more aware of when I'm in my unconscious and when that, when I'm in the space to allow that to come through, and not to recreate the painting itself, because you can never go back and just imitate what you've already done. At least for me, it's more about knowing now, oh, I know when I'm in this space for this, something magical to come through. So that for me has been profoundly life-changing. I mean, it has come, I would say definitely most tangibly through my art, my relationships too, and my businesses, but it's something that you can track, I think, in my paintings. Looking at them, you could see, like, I could explain to you, oh, that one was after a wound breakthrough. And Dami actually gave me the best assignment of my entire life. I love my art teachers, but I have to say, I've never had a better assignment than this. She had me start painting the ugliness and the shadows and the experience, the wound of witnessing the shadow and of feeling the shadow, and to let that all out on the canvas. And she was like, don't worry about making it beautiful. Just let it come out as ugly and black as you possibly could. And it allowed me and my soul to breathe in a way that I have never fathomed before. And through my art, like, I know that this can happen through partnership, like you guys have been saying. And she gave me this assignment and this deep healing that I could experience on my own and with my paintings, which I never thought possible. I really thought that there was only a certain level you could take it to on your own, and then maybe you have to be in partnership to get through barriers. And yes, I do think that for a lot of people, our lessons are in partnership. I know that mine are definitely going to be, because I have 5 planets in the 7th house of relationships. but it is possible to heal this way and in relationship to your creativity, your friends, your family. So yeah, that was a long, long-winded explanation, but
so good.
That's so powerful, because I do feel like a lot of listeners, and I told you this before we started, but I do feel like a lot of our listeners are not in partnership. And sometimes that can seem like a limiting factor in terms of their growth. So I love that you pointed out that they can go to this depth on their own, and even knowing that partnership is an important part of their life. Just like you said, all the houses that you have in relationships, you know that partnership at some point is going to be a really important part of your life. Mm-hmm. But to do that foundational work now, so that, you know, maybe once you show up in partnership, you're like, hey, I'm here. Not like, hey, blah, you know, like, here's all my stuff. So it's really empowering. So I love what you shared. And I know that you are exceptionally passionate also about our fire. So you talked about the creativity that's available when we go into the wound, this space where our creativity naturally arises from. How is that connected to our sexuality and our sex energy?
I'm so happy you asked this, because I have a special treat. I texted Dami the other day, yesterday, and I was like, I'm going on my friend's podcast. but you have the best words and most concise way to explain sexual energy. And she sent me a beautiful paragraph. It's like a poem. And she said I could read it on the podcast. So I think this is the best possible way to explain the all-encompassing nature of sexuality and of fire. So I'll read it to you guys. This is Dominique Sire. Sexuality is not just the expression of sex with a partner. It is your life force, your Shakti, and it needs to be understood and experienced as such. It is the raw energy of the divine feminine, which holds a wisdom that is different but equal to the higher mind. And it needs to be addressed, experienced, and understood and mastered first before it can be experienced fully and in a divine way, either through sex or within the self. Sexual energy holds within itself the wounds and shadows that must be dealt with and transformed in order to mature. It is the raw energy of the divine, your soul. You could say that we are made of energies. Consciousness is made of energy. The higher mind or spirit is air. And in the same way, the soul is made of fire and water. So, mic drop from Dami. Thank you.
Wow. We love you, Dami. Thank you.
Thank you, Dami.
Well, let's riff on this a little bit. Because when I first started working with Scott, I was like, well, my inner child feels this. And he's like, no, we're not going to talk about the inner child. I was like, oh, like that was so triggering. So I want to address this because in the spiritual community, we do talk about inner child work. I do think it's an amazing place to start your self-love journey. And it's something to always be aware of. And I know that Scott says he talks about, I think, the sacred child. Yeah. And I don't know a lot about that at all. But what I know is what he told me about the inner child. He was talking about my maiden and he was like, you need to just put her on a rock. Just like shove her over the side and be like, no, maiden, you're sitting down on this rock and you're not going to make the decision here. And I was like, but that's my inner child. Like, that's not how I talk to my inner child. He's like, no, that's disempowering you. And so I want to speak about this because in relationship to sex energy, in relationship to coming in, you one time told me, did you know that we're meant to be in our sex energy all the time? I was like, what is she talking about? This girl. And it was like a text message. You're like, oh my God, I just had this session with my mentor. And like, it's crazy. Did you know that? Blah, blah, blah. And then you were talking about like your leopard or something. Yeah. Alexa's voice memos are great. But I just really was getting from Scott. He was saying, if you let your maiden, which I guess honestly could be the disempowered inner child in the way that we've kind of learned it. It will take you out of your sex energy because she wants you to stay out of your sex energy. If you haven't been initiated into this woman, then you actually won't even, she does not feel safe for you to be in your woman because that means you're not letting her run the show. And so I guess I wanted to speak about this because yes, while inner child is important in honoring the innocence in us, like you said, there is a pure part of the maiden. It is important that we're not letting her operate. And that was just a really incredible distinction for me. And it was uncomfortable for sessions to be like, okay, what's going on with your maiden? Mm-hmm. Sit her to the side. And I was like, he was literally like, every time this happens with Michael again, you need to take your maiden and be like, fuck no, maiden. Like, you are over here. I was like, really? Okay. Like, you need to sit her on a rock. You need to take control. So I just thought that was really, I think the spiritual community needs to hear that because that's what helped me come into the power center of my woman who can actually stand tall in my power pose, which I learned with him. And actually be in that sex energy and speak from there while understanding, you know, what she might be feeling, what she might be experiencing, but just not letting her call the shots. Do you have anything to say about that?
That was a perfect explanation. And just so you know, same thing for me. My maiden appeared as in the form of this, like, butterfly that had no sexual energy and was just trying to look pretty and glittery, but like flat. And he was like, shove her under a rock. So my meeting gets squished. She also appears for me a lot as like chatter in the head of just like doubt here, doubt there. And I just, when she first really started rearing her head in a way that I was super aware of, I literally snapped her out. I would feel her in my ears and I would snap, snap. Like all aspects of ourselves though, when the self evolves, all your shadows evolve too, because they need to find trickier ways to keep you fragmented, because you are in your, that's why this, what you said before about how the wound is always there, this work is lifelong. It's constantly transforming, but it's nothing to be afraid of, because when you get used to it, you'll totally catch it. But in terms of the inner child, it really is just about what you said, not letting that part of you run the show, not letting the maiden run the show. The child isn't here. I don't know much about like the definition of the inner child. I know that the sacred child is actually an aspect of our psyche that gets buried around ages 0 to 7. So if you were to look at the gene keys, you might have a clue with your SQ key in there. And it gets buried in order to protect itself. So it's very pure and very and beautiful again. And when you reawaken that part of you, it's amazing. And it's just another aspect of the self, though, of the woman that is greater than all of these parts. But I think you put it perfectly about just not letting the maiden run the show.
Okay, cool. Thanks for letting me take that diversion. So now that we've addressed that, coming back to Michael's like sex energy and fire conversation, I'll let you riff on that for a bit.
Yes. Okay, so remind me, Michael, what your follow-up question was.
Right. So we have painted a whole world, right, about all the different parts of us right now. And we have been able to identify our wound, what keeps us from our wound, the different archetypes we have that play out. Even now, the inner child or the maiden that we can stay trapped inside of that basically wipes clean our sex energy or keeps us out of our sex energy. So what I want to know is what role, and you read a beautiful definition from Dame about this, but what role does our sex energy actually play? What role does our fire actually play in all of this world that we've created now?
Love this question. So when you're in your sexual energy, when you're in your true fire, you can gauge the truth in any situation that you find yourself in. So you can literally pick up on what is authentic, what is not, anywhere, no matter what you're doing, who you're with, who you're talking to. It's, and obviously I think this is so important, because you can see when you're in your true come from, you can see, feel the come from of others. And it brings you to deeper compassion for them. Even though this fire is fierce and will not stand for anything less than the truth and your authentic self, when you see someone who the shadow has taken over their lives, or they've been collapsed in their wound, which, by the way, is just, you can kind of imagine it, like the wound, imagine the energy of water, which is associated with pain, and instead of like keeping kind of floating in the ocean, you're drowning. That would be collapsing in the wound, collapsing in the pain. So you can feel, for me, I've had such deeper compassion for others, and I have, as everyone does, a serious issue with judgment. I will judge people because I want the best out of them all the time. But even that's not okay. It's still judgment. So when you are in the fire, this is what a part of a story that Dami told us once. You can say, I see your dark, I see your light, I have no judgment. Which I think is so, it's the most powerful thing. And it shows you what to take a stand for in this world. And this fire is the energy that connects you to the outer world so that you're not, let's say you hiding away all your beautiful gifts that you have. The fire helps you bring them out into the world and share them. And in partnership, it's so important because you guys will speak to this, you're being triggered all the time because you're in each other's space all the time. So if you have a way to reconnect to that fire, then it's just probably a sigh of relief to be like, okay, whatever was in the air here, no, that was not it. This was not it. And to just be able to, it's really truly clearing the air between you and having a way to navigate the space between you in a way where things that don't belong in that space or that are inhibiting you from true intimacy, those things aren't running the show, like you said. So, yeah.
That's so good. And while you were talking, I was thinking, if I could sum this up in like one short phrase, how would I say it? And it was, the fire burns away all the bullshit.
Whoa.
Yes.
And in a way, I think our fire, culturally speaking, socially, societally speaking, has been repressed so that we're constantly seeing smoke. We can't actually perceive the truth. We're disempowered because we're constantly perceiving false realities. You know what I mean? We can't just burn through the bullshit to pierce through and see the truth of whatever is right in front of us. So that's so powerful. And the last thing, I think we can probably end on this because we're getting towards time, mm-hmm. is we've poked at this phrase now all throughout the podcast, the come from. So when you say the come from, what is it you actually mean by that?
So a come from is not a feeling, I think is a really important place to start. It's kind of a place that you occupy, and that's what sexual energy is. That's what fire water of your soul, the way Dami said, is. It's a space that you inhabit and where all of your, everything you say and everything you do is coming from this place. So if you are a person who's in your fire and all the bullshit is burned away, you're someone who's coming from a place of no bullshit. That's what I mean by the come from. And you can tell when you're in the self and when you're in your true fire, you can tell when the come from is off in others. So I can be like, okay, he's coming from the shadow. She's coming from her maiden. He's collapsed in the wound. She's avoiding her wound. That's what I would say the come from is, which is different than a feeling, because feelings are pain, anger, joy, and they are meant to pass through the body, whereas the come from is almost your core stability. It's your anchor where you always, for me, Scott was saying that the visual for me is I'm kind of a layer underneath the waves of the ocean, that stable part. Instead of before, he was like, you used to swim to shore and come back and see if it was okay to go back in the ocean and then swim to shore and come back. But you just become more steady. And the key word also for me is neutral. People think you have to be like explosive or super emotional when you're in the truth or when you're taking a stand, it is a very neutral place.
Okay, babes, thank you so much for all of this. Honestly, that whole conversation with the come from could be a whole other episode, because it comes into relationship dynamics and how to call it out, when to call it out, when not to. But first and foremost, we have to own it in ourselves. And so for someone that listened to this and is like, even if they didn't even get it, but they want to dive in, where do they get started with this work?
Great question. So I would say Scott's website isn't quite up yet. They should email me, because I'm working with Scott right now. Okay. And help. And he's going to be starting to do workshops and bigger events and things like that. And also he has some moving meditations that are for sale on the website. So that is the perfect place to start, is learning how to run the elements.
Okay.
And I can also do a recording for you guys if someone is interested, because I used to lead class for a bit with the elements. But yeah, Scott has some recordings, and they can always check out Dominique's website. So it's scottpicard.com and dominiquesire.com.
Yep.
And she has some information on there. She mostly works one-on-one and does workshops. So yeah, get a feel for, they are very different. It's more of a male energy and female energy. It's a man and a woman. So
right.
You would expect, but
we'll put it in the show notes. And also, just to be clear, like, if people do want to get started with their sessions, they can just reach out to you right now. And we'll put the websites in there, because the website isn't live. Okay.
Yeah. On his website, the emails come to me anyway, so.
Oh. Cool. Amazing.
Well, we will include all that in the show notes. And I just want to say thank you for your time, for your energy, for who you are, for how you showed up today. I know in your introduction, we didn't say, we didn't include everything, because you're also a Gene Key, a human design, an astrology master. So,
so true.
You're so multifaceted. And I think anyone that wants to connect with you really should, because you have so much to offer. And I just want to thank you personally for contributing to us the way that you have and contributing to our audience today.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much. This was honestly a dream. Anytime you want to do it again, just let me know.
A deal. We will.
I feel like we could do a whole series.
I know, we really could. We'll put Alexis's website in the show notes so that everyone can connect with her and her incredible artwork. Mm-hmm. In addition to all the other things that she represents and partners with. She is a reflector in human design. You might not know any of those. Now you do. Yeah, we love you so much, babe. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You truly have contributed. This is like my favorite podcast we've ever recorded.
Oh my gosh. I love you so much. Thank you guys.
Okay. See you soon. Mwah.
Bye. Bye.